Indiana is a state of patriots, and we best express that patriotism in thanks to those who undertake the highest form of all public service, and that is to put themselves at risk for the defense of the liberties the rest of us enjoy. And we seek opportunities to honor our service people and our veterans, and to make sure that their selflessness is never forgotten and always recognized. And in the, today we're going to take multiple steps forward to further strengthen Indiana's commitment to these our fellow patriots. First of all, under the leadership of Tom Applegate, Attorney General Umbarger, we have entered into an understanding with other agencies of government, state and federal, as well as providers of health care and other services, to ensure that our returning service people never fall through the cracks and that they take full advantage of the benefits and the services that they have earned through their bravery. We have found that some of our service people come back. The first thing they want to do is just get back home to their families. Sometimes they miss opportunities and never really understand some of the services that they have earned and are deserving of. We're going to solve that problem through the memorandum I'm about to make final. And then secondly, in this General Assembly, with the leadership of people like Mike Delf and David Frizzell and Troy Woodruff and Scott Reske and many others, we have created a military relief fund to further make certain that no returning service person suffers a hardship on account of the loyal and courageous deeds they have just done to benefit the rest of us. It's going to fill another gap in the menu of services that we have for these finest of our public servants. And finally, we are correcting one last gap, really restoring a benefit of tuition to those people who were disabled in the children of those people who were disabled in service, all of them. And I want to thank our Veterans Services Organizations for pointing out this omission to us and helping us get it restored. So for all those reasons, this is a day, like every day, when we say thank you to the bravest of the brave and the most important of all our public servants, our government employees, if you will. And let's celebrate now by making all these things law in Indiana. Why don't you have a seat, Tom? And so first, I'm going to join, I believe, 14 other signatories, 14 or 15, in let's see, Tom, you have failed to sign this document.
There's two of us who have.
Marty, you have failed. It's a breach of duty.
Never get out of front.
I want you go first.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Nice pen.
Huh?
That's a nice pen.
You might come into one of those, you know, if you play your cards right. Again, I want to pay special thanks to Tom and General Umbarger for conceiving this program, for having a very close look at other states, the few other states that have done something like it. We think we can have the best in America by virtue of the research they've done, and now to make it work for each and every returning vet. Thank you and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Marty,
sir.
Thanks
for
a lot.
Your
And now I'm going to sign Senate Enrolled Act 75, addressing those other issues we talked about. Let's see. I'm going to share a couple of these. We got M, E, Daniels. Thank goodness Dad made me a junior. I can handle four. Scott, would you have one of these with
thanks
of everybody? Troy, would you?
Thank you, Governor.
Where'd David go? And Mike?
Thank you.
thanks for making this possible. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Could you explain what benefits are available under the seamless transition and why they are not available without it?
Well, the benefits are available. They deal with everything from health care to training and reemployment assistance. But maybe let me ask Tom to elaborate a little. It's not that they're not available. They have been available, but the previous system required, and I've been at Atterbury and visited with returning service people, they were required to grasp it all, learn it all, and make their decisions on the spot. And now they'll have 90 days, really, to get reintegrated with their loved ones, with their families, and to use that time to understand the options available to them, and then to come back and make those decisions in a fully informed way. I think I've described that about right, haven't I?
Very well.
Yeah. Want to add anything to that?
And I would say that at Atterbury, the information that they get there is just very valuable to them. However, the actual filling out of applications, of claims, of referrals to organizations which can help them with employment, it happens on a very limited basis at Atterbury.
It's a little overwhelming, don't you think?
So much for them to absorb all at once. So we'll be going to their armories with all of these people to do all of this stuff and be there to help them fill out these applications.
What's the time frame now?
There was nothing before, other than the briefings at Atterbury. The veterans themselves were left on their own to contact all the people required to do these forms and applications. But now we're going to let them have this decompression period for 90 days or a little longer in some cases, and then we'll go to the armories and we'll take care of all of that then.
And the signing organizations and agencies have all agreed to make special additional efforts now to reach out to the vets, the service people, make certain they understand their choices and all the possibilities, and then walk them through the process. There were just too many folks unknowingly failing to avail themselves of valuable service.
Was there a cutoff on time before that they were missing, and there's going to be longer now, that they're going to have more assistance?
There's a one-year time limit for a lot of the claims and applications, but it does not extend.
No, right.
A lot of them, I think, left Atterbury no one ever reached back out to them, and they didn't come back to take advantage again of things that were that should have been available to them. Now we'll make sure that everybody understands every option and takes full advantage.
Is there not a new relief fund that's created with the license plate fee?
Yes, that's correct. That's part of the act that I just signed.
How much money will that raise, and how will it be
distributed? Let me ask one of the sponsors for our best guess, our best estimate.
At least $500,000, maybe up to $1 million. It depends on how many people sign up for the Support Your Troops plate. And that's open to anybody in Indiana. And then also there's money from the Hoosier Veterans plate. Of course, that's limited to veterans. And so that number, we estimated about $250,000 a year. And then Support Your Troops plate could easily raise twice that, three times that. So
does all the money come from just plates, or is there another pot of money out there?
You could also dedicate money from the general budget that could be sent to that. People could donate, and so there are other sources.
I say, Mike, I think the plan is for the Access Indiana website to put a button on.
Right.
That's what we're working on now with the administration, to be able to let people go online and donate. And hopefully a lot of people will take advantage of that. This is the very least we can do for those folks. So I think that from what I've heard from my constituents, that it'll probably be well received, and they would like to make those donations.
Are these extra benefits going to be extended to folks that came home last year? Will they be getting this?
Since September 11.
How's the money distributed?
An application process. The details will be worked out by Commissioner Applegate.
I think you'll probably promulgate rules, won't you, Tom, for how this will be administered? But it'll be administered by Department of Veterans Affairs.
I have until August to come up with application procedures which I'll present to a committee. But I anticipate that I'll be using county veteran service officers to funnel applications through.
Have any of the returning National Guard troops seen problems getting their jobs back out of their home?
You know, we have a wonderful thing here in the state called ESGR, Employer Support for Guard and Reserve, a lot of volunteers, and that's there's twofold approach there, helping those soldiers to come home and have difficulty in getting back to work, and also recognizing the employers that have really gone overboard to assist a lot of our soldiers and airmen and sailors and Marines. So it's a twofold, and we do have issues. We work those at the local level, and I will tell you, if they're not worked out, they end up being turned over to the Department of Labor, and it is against the law not to have a job back for our wonderful soldiers that go off and defend our country.
We've had great cooperation. We signed the compact, you'll recall, down at Atterbury. The state,
yes,
of course, agreed to protect the pay,
yes, sir,
of it, of those who are called away from state employment, and overwhelming number, I think, of our private businesses and other levels of government agreed to join us in that.
That's another topic.
If you want. Oh, I don't know. I assume somebody will shut them off. Maybe they were supposed to be timed to the debate. If they spilled over a day or two, I don't know. Sometimes you folks make good, don't you, on something that didn't run at its appointed time. I really don't know. Yeah. Well, I really don't know, but I assume they'll everyone will be spared further commercials pretty quickly. Well, I regret the position they've taken. It's an anti-jobs, anti-growth, anti-future of Indiana stance, but free country. And I think that the really not much more to say about this at this point. I'll refer you to the overwhelming editorial opinion, which has not only said this was a great step forward for this state, but that much of the partisan opposition is an embarrassment to Indiana. I'm quoting now. And I can't say it better than many of those editorials have. I hope that when they're done trying to exploit this for political reasons, they'll decide to work with us now on spending the money well and quickly and starting to reap the enormous benefits. Their party had 16 years, produced no plan, and a toll road that lost money. No plan for the roads Indiana needs, only empty promises. And why don't they, this is now a reality, why don't we put down the cudgels and let's work together to turn this great opportunity into the jobs I think we all agree the state needs. Well, the law means what it says. It cannot go through Perry Township unless the legislature on some future date gave its approval to that. So the official route of the road under the law hasn't changed, not yet anyway. And we will look to comply with the legislative will and honor that compromise. We will have to find a way to do it that doesn't slow down a project that's 20 years overdue now.
Governor, I hope, excuse me, I'm Dave Rizal from Perry Township. And let me just say one thing. This process has been going on for many a year. Perry Township citizens were organized, concerned about the businesses that would be lost, and never got a hearing from the other two administrations. I have to say that we wanted to work with the governor, and we have worked with the governor. He's been open, and we're still talking and discussing, and I appreciate that. And we all wanted to move forward, as I did, voted twice for it. And the governor was gracious enough to have his people, Tom Sharp, come down and talk with our people. So we are still talking. We agree this is a great economic boom for the state of Indiana, and we'll continue to work with the governor and his administration.
Thank you, David.
Governor, are you familiar with the legislation that is designed to curb dropouts from high school?
Yes, I haven't looked at it yet. I obviously know that it passed. And
you haven't signed it yet?
Have not. Be looking at it, I'm sure, very quickly.
You've been talking about full-day kindergarten the last couple of days. What is your education plan?
Well, we've already begun work on next year. It'll be led, I expect, by education, and this clearly will be a principal, if not the flagship, proposal. This is something that also is very overdue in Indiana, but a bankrupt state couldn't pay for it. And now we're bringing the state back into the black, and as we have some new funds to invest for the first time now in years, education is the place to start. I think full-day kindergarten will be the first but not the only initiative that that we bring forward.
Open to everybody paid by the state?
Well, we're only 48 hours past the session. Give us a little time to look at the details. Well, let me say that I've asked Dave Shane and really some weeks ago, as soon as the session was over, to begin visiting with all the stakeholders to talk about the practical issues, the schedule, some of the side effects of bringing full-day kindergarten to the state, make sure we do it in the most thoughtful way. So that process has already started. Thank you, one and all.